When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X and Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
This day after Election Day, a major headline here is warm winds. And I think a lot of us will be on this one, where we're looking at temperatures way above the average from Kansas City to Denver. I mean, here in Dallas, we should be the upper 60s. We're talking about the mid-80s. And Minneapolis, probably this one really, really pops out.
Wow.
45 the average. 71 degrees for you guys. They want to know what to do. They want to go swimming.
Don't.
Welcome back, everyone. You're watching First Outlook. I'm Kim Furrow. Season, even some 60s into the Ohio Valley. But as Nick talked about, the changes are coming. Huge changes in Minneapolis. I mean, that's pretty incredible. A 40-degree temperature drop here towards the weekend. And then Saturday, we'll see 60s and 70s coming south where some of that cooler air does make it to the Gulf Coast. Coming up, we'll give you a
metal hangs from poles and rubbles all that's left of homes in one town in Japan's northern island of Hokkaido. It's the deadly aftermath of a rare event, a tornado. It killed 9 people, 25 others were hurt. Here's where the tornado happened, on the island of Hokkaido. This, here in the town of Saroma, 9 reported fatalities. This is the deadliest tornado on record, by the way, here in this area of Japan. Early assessments of damage suggest it may have been an F2. Those carry winds of 113 to 157 miles an hour.
And USA Today has more on the oddity of a tornado in Japan.
Take a look at what the impact is on the West Coast. We're going to see extreme snowfall, blizzard conditions. To travel, not recommended. And in north and central part of the state, we have flooding rains that'll be falling.
In the south, you know, look for mudslides, and we're going to find the flooding in some of those burn areas. We have flood watches up along the Florida coastline. This may surprise some of you, but we could see 2 to 5 inches of rain coming into these areas. So it's going to be very rough as we go through today, right on into tonight and tomorrow.
Is going to be the winds, because the winds here along the Sierra Nevada could be gusting up to over 150 miles per hour. Now that's just incredible, phenomenal gusts. And by the way, the National Weather Service predicting 6 to 8 inches per hour this afternoon and into the overnight hours. So we're talking about what could be really a phenomenal event here in Northern California.
Fiber rolls are just part of the mudslide prevention plan in Southern California's burn areas. October's wildfires charred away all the vegetation growing here in Rancho Bernardo. Now flash flood watches are in effect as 2 to 5 inches of rain is expected to fall this weekend. It's a dire situation in the West. We need rain desperately because we're in a drought. In fact, about 90% of the state has had problems with the drought, but 15% of the state is in an extreme drought condition. Had a lot of fires earlier. The Zaca fire, you may remember, that's north of Los Angeles. The Ranch fire, of course, was another one. Santiago fire, another one. The further south that we go, the Ammo fire, too.
Now, in that area yesterday, took up 5 inches of rainfall. So quite significant as we follow this system. We are seeing lots of rain coming in with this. Extreme snowfall rates are also possible with this. Rainfall, probably 2 to 5 inches of rain and feet of snow coming in.
Luke 21, verse 25 and 26. It says that Jesus gave a great warning. Here's what he said. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, here is described an event that originates in what is called the heavens. Now, we have three heavens. Number one, where the birds fly. Number two, outer space. Number three, God's throne. Whatever this is will cause the sun, the moon, and the stars to appear differently to us than they do now. The word distress in these verses, that it would bring great distress of the nations, it's number 4928 of the Greek section of the Strong's Concordance, and it means anxiety, anguish. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary gives this meaning: pain or suffering, anguish of body or mind. If you see something that is coming out of the heavens, and it is so awesome that it causes your heart to fail, where does that originate? It originates the fear in the mind. And so it said that there's pain and suffering, anguish of body and mind. The word perplexity here in Luke 21, 25 to 26 means a state of quandary. It means to have no way out. So here is the human race looking up into the sky, and they see no way out of utter destruction. Just like the dinosaurs don't roam the earth anymore, but certainly their skeletal systems are dug up. An extinction level event. Webster says of the word perplexity, confused mental condition because of a disturbing, puzzling state of affairs. This is an event seen in the skies that people will think they have no way to escape from it. Death is a given. That's what they will think. What could be so terrible that Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 22, the first part of the verse, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." When you look the word saved up in the Greek section of the Strong's Concordance, it could mean spiritual or physical. And since this is talking about flesh being saved, it means being saved alive rather than everyone dying. So it's going to require a supernatural intervention by Jesus Christ to prevent this planet from dying. Everything on it. Scientists talk about a lost continent called Atlantis. The lost continents, did it really exist? None of us have been there. Could it be that nations have been destroyed before, with few people remaining alive, but did not record the causes of the destruction and why their nation disappeared, or a whole continent disappeared? A man by the name of Solon, S-O-L-O-N, who was a Greek historian. He was a philosopher and a statesman in Athens, Greece, between 639 and 559 B.C. He traveled to Egypt and interacted with the historians from Egypt in his day, because Egypt was the greatest nation at that time. It had detailed records, great libraries of things that happened in the past. He made notes and writings from the Egyptians' history books. On one such visit, the Egyptian priests, who were pagan, but still they have eyes, they can read, they can write and record history, told Solon the following concerning the demise of Atlantis and how there were recurring cataclysms that caused destructions from time to time. I will quote from the book Pole Shift, the section that he talked about here. "You Greeks are but children. There is no old doctrine handed down among you but by ancient traditions or any science which is of age." I will tell you the reason behind this. There have been and will be again many destructions of mankind out of many causes, the greatest having been brought about by earth fire and inundation, that means flooding. "Whereas you Greeks and other nations did not keep records, imperishable records of Atlantis, we Egyptians did. And then after a long period of time, the usual inundation or flooding visits the earth like a pestilence and leaves only those of you who are destitute of letters and education." So the society died, except for the few. And thus you have to begin over again as children, having no knowledge as time raced by that there were events that happened in the past that were very devastating to the human race, and know nothing of what happened in ancient times, either among us or among yourselves. End of quote. That was from John White's book, Pole Shift, page 38. In other words, what the ancient Egyptian priests were telling the Greeks, historian at this time, was that many civilizations throughout history of our planet have been wiped out by a recurring catastrophe, something that would come along ever so often. These civilization-ending cataclysms not only destroyed many ancient cultures that we're digging up and the artifacts from them to prove they existed, but their written records and recorded history as well, forcing them literally to start over as children. As time went on, they would forget what caused the destruction. Recorded historians did not exist in many of these societies. So it is that these global cataclysms occurred, but many people scoffed because they didn't have the accurate information. Today, I hope to give you some of the accurate information as to what this Bible prophecy that I've already read and many others, what it's all about. The Egyptians told Solon about the destroyed civilization called Atlantis. Atlantis was a series of islands that lay west of the Straits of Gibraltar, out into the Atlantic Ocean. Then the usual, as they said, inundation or flood struck the earth. It involved earthquakes and floods. They had a little warning. Atlantis was engulfed with ravages of the ocean. The waves overtook it. Huge tidal waves. Finally, Atlantis slipped between and under the great tidal waves, the giant waves, 3,000 feet in height, never to be seen or heard from again, but they lay deep under the oceans. In 1828, the Museum of Leiden in the Netherlands obtained a copy of a very old and ancient text known as Ipuwer papyrus. And this was recorded in a book. This text describes a massive cataclysm that struck Egypt thousands of years ago. And they set forth a remarkable understanding of what has happened to many civilizations in the past in this papyrus. Statements from it reveal that the nation was totally devastated. Agriculture was destroyed. Both the upper and the lower Egyptian became wasteland. Then we had the Great Sahara Desert as a direct result. Mr. A.H. Gardner wrote in a book concerning this particular papyrus that was in the Leiden Museum, quote, "It was no merely local disturbance that is here described, but a great and overwhelming national disaster," end of quote. Now, this ancient manuscript said that the earth turned upside down. What is turning upside down? Isn't that a pole shift? It said that the sky was in confusion. Why would the sky be in confusion? It was the earth that tilted on its axis that was turned upside down and had a pole shift. Not the stars, not the sun, not the moon. They were constant as always. But it was from the perspective of human beings that the sky was in confusion. Could that have been referring to a time when the earth altered its rotation? We'll see. It's recorded in history that it has happened. Whatever it was, it destroyed an entire nation, its cities, its agriculture, its infrastructure, highways, and so on. A tablet was found in El Arish, which is a monument that was erected between Judea and Egypt. On this tablet was inscribed a hieroglyphic message referring to a time when a great geological disaster struck ancient Egypt. Here's what it read, quote, in part. This is from the book, The Greatest Story Never Told, page 83. The land that was Egypt was in great affliction. Evil fell upon us. There was a great upheaval. There was such a tempest that neither men nor gods could see the faces of those beside them. End of quote. That's dark. Darkness, so that you couldn't even see someone sitting right next to you or standing or laying next to you. Other cultures have recorded great cataclysms about ancient Egypt that it struck that nation as well as their own. The same book, The Greatest Story Never Told, page 83, had this to say, quote, "An exceedingly strong wind endured 7 days. On the fourth, fifth, and sixth day, the darkness was so dense that they could not stir from their places. The darkness was of such a nature that it could not be dispelled by artificial means. The light of the fire was either extinguished by a violent storm, or else it was made invisible and swallowed up in the density of the darkness. Nothing could be discerned. None were able to speak or hear." Thus they remained overwhelmed by the affliction, end of quote. What is this talking about? We'll see very shortly. The earth tells a great story as to what happened, and the Bible confirms it and says that it's going to happen again. We have to ask ourselves what type of massive disaster could have caused such a physical disruption in Egypt and other nations recorded it. as happening to them also. The answer is actually handed down to us by the ancient Egyptians themselves. They maintain that these periodic planetary catastrophes involve the shifting of the Earth's rotation in space. Shifting of the Earth and its rotation. What would that do to everything on planet Earth and everyone? Over 2,000 years ago, the historian Herodotus reported, and I quote, "The scribes of Egypt maintained that four times the earth in its movements reversed itself so that the sun shifted and rose where it formerly set and set where it formerly rose." At one time, the sun rose in the west and set in the east, but now it rises in the east and sets in the west. That's what they were saying. Notice from the book Worlds in Collision, page 119, there was a Latin author by the name of Pomponius Pella who wrote in the first century. Here's what he said, quote, "The Egyptians pride themselves on being the most ancient people in the world. In their authentic annuals, they put down history year by year. One may read that since they have been in existence, the course of the stars has changed direction four times, and that the sun has twice set in the part of the sky where it now rises today." End of quote. Now, did the sun and the stars and the moon actually change locations? No. But the earth did, so it appeared that things in the heavenlies were changing. Remember, it's the earth that changed on its rotational pattern, not the sun, the stars, and the moon. There was a man which many of you have heard of, Pliny the Elder. He was a first century writer. He wrote, and I'm quoting from that same book, The Greatest Story Ever Told, page 78, "A terrible comet was seen by the people of Ethiopia and Egypt. It had a fiery appearance and twisted like a coil, and it was grim to behold. It was not really a star so much as what might be called a ball of fire. It was not a fiery color, but a bloody red." End of quote. Now, what type of strange red celestial object could this man Pliny the Elder be describing? Another ancient Greek returning from Egypt said this, and I quote, "There appeared a comet, and there was a conflict between the forces of heaven and of earth." Now, what are the forces of heaven and earth? Gravitational pulls. The earth is held in its place by gravity, centrifugal force, the laws that God set in motion for the earth to rotate around the sun. This is our solar system. So what caused this devastation upon the earth? apparently it'll happen again according to scriptures. And I've only read one so far today, or two. Could this be why we come onto the scene in Genesis chapter 1 with an earth that lay in ruin, toho and boho, and it was desolate? And then God had to restore the earth because something had come through our solar system, and they described it in Egypt and in Greece as a great comet. But was it a comet? They said it came. People saw it. They wrote it. They recorded what happened and the results to the land, to the people, to the cattle, to agriculture as a direct result of it. God completed the restoration of planet Earth and told man to multiply and replenish. Anybody can go to the Strong's Concordance and look up the word replenish, and you will see that it says it means to repopulate the earth. Apparently, there was some kind of population on planet Earth before Genesis 1, when God came on the scene and it was laying, the earth was in ruins. And now all of a sudden God started things and restored it all over again. Well, what did he say in Acts 3 verse 18 to 21? He said when Jesus comes and the heavens are holding him, and when he comes he will have to restore all things. Restore it from what kind of a condition? Well, it's already said if he didn't intervene, there would no flesh be saved alive, so something pretty devastating is going to happen to planet Earth. And inhabitants of this Earth is going to know about it. They're going to see it because they're going to kill over with heart attacks. They're going to hold their stomach, men, as if they were delivering babies. Could this shifting of our planet's rotation and the accompanying geophysical changes to Earth have been ultimately triggered by the passage of this terrible red comet?
Brent Miller, he's next on Coast to Coast AM. Now, Brent Miller is considered an expert in e-commerce systems, and he has spent several times developing patents and is now working with the Horizon Project research team. Many top researchers, scientists to unlock the greatest mysteries of our world. Brent was on with me almost a year ago, Brent, wasn't it?
Almost 2 years ago, yes.
Oh, I got 2 years. That's right, 2 years.
Flies.
How quickly it flies. How have you been?
Oh, very good. I appreciate being back on again, and we have new material to show. And the evidence that we presented last time, I'm not going to cover as much of that because there is much more evidence. We actually are getting more evidence to show that what we did believe was coming right around the corner absolutely is coming.
Well, here we go.
We're on the doorstep.
Give us a little update and review of the Horizon Project for people who don't remember almost 2 years ago.
Okay. The Horizon Project, we have an obsession to know the truth, similar to yourself, George.
Absolutely.
And it takes a lot of work because this world is too opinionated. So we have a research team and contributors from scientists in pretty much every field, covering, you know, all corners of the globe. And what we try to resolve are the world's most puzzling, almost in-your-face anomalies, such as, you know, cities, massive stone cities, dozens of square miles large underneath the ocean surface, those type of anomalies. And then based on scientific gathering of evidence, we're forced to conclude that Earth's history, not just recent history, but the long-term Earth history and our inevitable future, immediate future, is not what we've been taught. We've been taught that Earth changes. Earth changes are slow and gradual and occur over thousands or millions of years. An example of this, for example, would be the forming of the Grand Canyon or the slow continental drift, where we've been taught that it took millions of years to separate Asia from the United States in the forming of the Atlantic Ocean. We simply don't find the true scientific evidence to support that. In fact, there's overwhelming evidence that shows yet that whereas these slow changes do occur over thousands of years, the planet mostly undergoes dramatic global catastrophic upheavals in a cyclic fashion, and it appears to be in a rather disturbing frequency. The most catastrophic of all these upheavals is what I'm referring to as a pole shift.
And these upheavals, though as you mentioned, science says that these things happen over millions of years, they don't factor in, Brent, the calamity, the rapid event that could occur, which also triggers some of these to happen pretty quickly, do they?
No, in fact, they don't. In fact, most of these calamities that you see around the planet can only be explained by sudden catastrophic events. Let's refer to the Atlantic Ridge and the ocean, Atlantic Ocean. The modern day theories that just do not hold evidence when you really look down into the actual scientific data, where the continents separated over millions of years, they are spreading apart.
Mm-hmm.
The Europe is spreading apart from the United States at a rate of about 1 inch, 2 inches a year. Now, if you extrapolate that, why, of course, it would have taken millions of years.
Of course, no.
But that being the case, that means the United States is actually approaching China at the same rate.
At the same rate. Yeah.
Right. So, in other words, you would expect, because the transatlantic ridge is expanding as lava moves up and spreads apart, that the Atlantic Ocean is a much younger ocean by millions of years than the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean would be much older, therefore have much more silt on the bottom of it as compared to the Atlantic Ocean. But when you actually look at the composition of both, you see that they're nearly identical. And the only thing that can explain that is a sudden catastrophic, literally ripping apart of the continents
for
a very short period of time.
What would cause that?
Basically, what would cause that is an external force on the planet so great that it literally alters the orbital path of the planet on its axis and tilts the planet. The core, the mantle of the planet, is basically molten lava.
Right.
On
right.
it, we have a very thin crust, which is the ground we walk on. If you take the crust and shift it, if an external force was so powerful it could actually shift the entire sphere of the crust of the Earth on that molten lava underneath, it would basically rip apart the land masses. And based on the centripetal force of the planet revolving on its axis, the continents would reshape themselves over a very quick, short period of time, just a matter of a few hundred years. And those catastrophic types of events do explain the ripping up of the continents and what we see, how the oceans rest today versus millions of years of slow drifting. In fact, we saw an example just a year ago where we had a rift in Africa called the Afar Rift. Within a matter of 20 minutes, a several mile long rift, 300 feet deep, where the continent of Africa is starting to rip itself apart, where scientists were there coincidentally, while it was happening, they actually had to take off in their helicopter and film the event, because it's one of those rare events that mankind just does not see, where if we were to have seen that 1,000 years ago from now, we would say that that rift took 1,000,000 years to form, when in fact we know for a fact it took 20 minutes. And, you know, when you look at these, they're massive cities at the bottom of the ocean. Now, if civilization is thriving, like New York City, and New York City slowly starts to fall into the ocean, say, an inch a year. Let's say that's very quick.
Okay.
An inch a year.
Which?
People are going to leave New York City and not continue to expand it for 100 square miles.
Right. Even though that sinking would be so slow, they may not know when to leave because they figure, it's going to be thousands
right.
of years from now.
But what we see is that these massive cities, hundreds of square miles, are suddenly at the bottom of the ocean.
And when you say suddenly, is this like an instant? Boom, it's gone.
We're probably looking at less than a month for the entire event to happen.
Oh, my.
Because if you slowly slow down the spin rate of the Earth, the continents will reshape themselves very quickly. That is the most dramatic catastrophic event, the pole shift. One of the biggest problems is us humans love the coast and the ocean. So about 25% of the world's population lives within 100 miles of the coast. Unfortunately, when this type of event happens, those people will be the first to go, followed by, of course, technology, any means to keep civilization and technology as we know it alive. Transportation goes, world commerce goes. So basically, no matter how technologically advanced we believe we are, all of our technology comes to a screeching halt, and we're thrown immediately back into the Dark Ages.
Now, when you talk about an external force did this, what do you mean?
There's a number of reasons for pole shifts. There are catastrophic events that have happened in the past that we believe are due to passing space bodies that come through on a cyclic pattern. Some of the cycles seem to be around 3,600 years. Nostradamus referred to that.
Sounds like Nibiru.
Exactly. There's a number of other books that refer to the same cyclic pattern. But it's a huge gravitational pull that moves through the solar system, and it just slightly disrupts the planetary paths.
All right, but that is what starts to tear the planet apart.
That is what causes some of the events. And now, depending on how close it comes to the planet, it may have no effect, or it could have a devastating effect. What I am talking about is the most devastating effect of them all. Our solar system moves psychically over an extremely long period of time, up and down what the ancient Mayans and modern astronomers refer to as the galactic plane, or the dark rift.
Tell me about that.
The dark rift is a flat disk of which all the stars in our Milky Way galaxy move up and down, and then also spiral around in arms around the center of our galaxy. This dark rift has a very, very large, intense gravitational field to it. And it takes about 20 years for our planet and the solar system to pass through it. during this time, this is the external force that I'm referring to that we have been experiencing for the last 10 years, and it will take another 10 years to completely move through it. We have only started to see the effects of the planet and the solar system entering the dark rift.
Observatories around the world, many of them are very aware, acutely aware, and very worried about this inbound planet. Most of them that have been watching it for a couple decades, others mostly the last two or three years, have done their research and are arguing amongst themselves as to whether it will cause calamities when it passes. The fact that they're arguing amongst themselves means that the people that don't think calamities will happen during the passage simply haven't done their research.
Dr. Marion Matisse published two controversial scientific papers just months after my own brown dwarf suggestion appeared in UFO magazine here in Britain. They independently derived the existence of a massive undiscovered planet orbiting the Sun from statistical analyses of long-period comet data. They had found that the comets were moving towards the Sun in a non-random way, which was suggestive of a large body out there perturbing them from the old comet cloud. One of the interesting aspects of Murray's work is that he predicted the current sky location of the planet, and it turns out to be in the same region of the sky as I had predicted from reading Sitchin's textual quotations. This may be coincidence, of course. Recently I began researching the work of a chap called John Bagby, an engineer from California who proposed the existence of a massive stellar companion some 20 years ago. Bagby turned his attention to this part of the sky as well, because something out there seemed to be distorting the data coming back from a pulsar. Bagby thinks he even detected the body causing the distortion, but I'm doubtful of this. I think he would have needed access to a major telescope to do this. Even so, that's now three of us interested in the same part of the sky, all arriving at our conclusions from entirely different directions. So whether that's a coincidence...
Recent speculation about another body in our solar system has increased, and indeed, these theories come from multiple directions.
Back in 1973, I was advised by a friend of mine in New York City to read Worlds in Collision by Dr. Velikovsky. I just finished reading Atlantis, the Antediluvian World by Ignatius Donnelly, and was just enthralled with all of this. And I became one of the original members of the Velikovsky movement, the Kronos movement. Emperor Yahoo of China was the ruler of China at the time of the exodus from Egypt and the Santorini Cataclysm. Beijing, China is six time zones east of Egypt. Emperor Yahoo recorded in his imperial annals that the sun stood still over China for several days and that it was very hot. Flooding occurred. It took the Chinese 12 years to dig canals to get the water drained out of some of their farmland and other places. Well, if the sun stood still over China at 10 o'clock in the morning, then that would have been 4 o'clock in the morning in Egypt when the sun didn't rise and they had darkness for several days. Now, in the other part of the world, in the Incas in Peru, they have a legend that the sun didn't rise for several days and it was cold in the mountains and scared them to death. They didn't know what to do. Well, they are 10 time zones east of Beijing, China. So if the sun stood still at 10 a.m. in Beijing, China, that would have been 8 p.m. in Lake Titicaca. So the Peruvians would have had several days of darkness, and the Egyptians would have had several days of darkness at the very same time that China, in the middle, had several days of continuous sunlight.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus.